So this relates to this film, because power orchestrated events, this manufacturing of reality, remain hidden. They have a lot of money to do that. And under the terms of professional journalism, will forever be removed from what we're able to think, from our understanding of reality. And because authenticity must be silenced for the pundit, for the public personality to be seen, and they really want to be, all of us do, this is how we get the co-optation of the punditry. This is how they become tools, useful tools for power. So the film director would find funding flees from a film about power orchestrating division. And certainly it would never get wide promotion. And the abandoned child needs to be seen. So, we the people never get to advance our thinking, because we're stuck in atomization. We're trapped in the inauthentic. To the degree the description of the film contained in the interview is an accurate reflection of the film, I'd say the director is doing but a soft shoe crabs in a bucket, softening class for a complex of reasons. I think we'd find self-interest in that mall, and self-consciousness, and a longing to belong, and a whole lot of unprocessed resentment dumped on us on our time, on our dime, completely discounting the political cost of so doing. Recall what we said in recent weeks, that it matters what the majority think. And by the majority, I mean simply those stuck in conventional thinking. And by it matters, I don't mean that we play to the majority, to the asleep, but that we call power out, that we challenge and illuminate its manipulation strategies. Because truth necessarily plays to us all on some level, and our ears can be retrained to recognize its song, tuned to hear its fine rhythms. Because unprocessed crabs in a bucket, but dumps on us more of the same. That's not disobedience. That's very much doing what you've been trained to do. I prefer the more mature reflections of Barack. Here's a scene in his memoir from when he was in high school, in which he brings two white friends to a black party, and I'm beginning with some of the background to that scene. Quote, and this is from Dreams from My Father. Man, I'm not going to any more of these bullshit Punahou parties. Yeah, that's what you said last time. Ray and I sat down at a table and unwrapped our hamburgers. He was 2 years older than me, a senior who, as a result of his father's army transfer, had arrived from Los Angeles the previous year. Despite the difference in age, we'd fallen into an easy friendship, due in no small part to the fact that together we made up almost half of Punahou's black high school population. I enjoyed his company. He had a warmth and brash humor that made up for his constant references to a former L.A. life. There were times when I would listen to him tell some blonde girl he just met about life on L.A.'s mean streets, or hear him explain the scars of racism to some eager young teacher. And I could swear that just beneath the sober expression, Ray was winking at me, letting me in on the score. Our rage at the white world needed no object, he seemed to be telling me, no independent confirmation. It could be switched on and off at our pleasure. Sometimes, after one of his performances, I would question his judgment, if not his sincerity. We weren't living in the Jim Crow South, I would remind him. We weren't consigned to some heartless housing project in Harlem or the Bronx. We were in goddamn Hawaii. We said what we pleased, ate where we pleased. We sat in the front of the proverbial bus. None of our white friends, guys like Jeff or Scott from the basketball team, treated us any differently than they treated each other. They loved us, and we loved them back. Shit, seemed like half of them wanted to be black themselves. Or at least Dr. J. One day, in early spring, Ray and I met up after class and began walking in the direction of the stone bench that circled a big banyan tree on Punahou's campus. It was called the Senior Bench, but it served mainly as a gathering place for the high school's popular crowd, the jocks and cheerleaders and party-going set, with their jesters, attendants, and ladies-in-waiting jostling for position up and down the circular steps. And let me just interject that this is a really good illustration of what's really taught in school. Find your rank, find your place, and endorse the ranking with your support of it. Prove you're better than by sniping at whoever you can. And the more you reinforce class, the more you'll be rewarded.